This is a pretty exciting thing. I'm not sure everyone in the audience will know just how exciting, but to have this version of the Brahms Requiem, which actually lets a group like the Phoenix Chorale do this, this is really exciting.
We're all very excited about it, and, you know, it's so fun to watch the singers really bite down on this, as it were.
The times that I've been involved in singing the Brahms Requiem, it's that massive chorus with the romantic orchestra, and that's a marvelous experience. This one, it's a whole different experience musically, lyrically, the feeling you walk away with, and the intimacy. Have you done it before with a chorale this size?
I've never done it with a choir this size before, but I have done it with a chorus of 160. I prepared it with the Kansas City Symphony Chorus before. That was performed with the Kansas City Orchestra, which is a big ensemble. And as a singer, I also got to do it a couple of times with Robert Shaw back in the day. And while that was overwhelming unto itself, with the smaller version of the Phoenix Chorale, it's a completely different experience. It allows a little more insight into the inner workings and the intimacy of this piece. We can make more subtle tempo inflections, textual inflections, dynamic inflections than you can with the Mack truck of the mass forces of big orchestra and big chorus. So I think people that will that know this piece already will come away from this experience having heard the piece in a new way. That, you know, they may come away feeling like they had never recognized before the way the inner voices intertwine and entertain each other. You know, it's a little bit more macro when you have such a large force that we can get on the insides a little bit better with just the smaller group and the versatility of the piano.
Well, in Brahms orchestrations, and certainly in the Requiem, there's a lot of bass, you know. And while you have Brahms, the great pianist himself, making the transcription that we're going to hear, there is a whole different flavor to it. And when you talk about the intimacy, very often you've got that, what you call the Mack truck of the, you know, the chorus with the cast of thousands. Getting the words across, and you've done it with Robert Shaw, and you've done it with Massive Forces, so I know that the enunciation was there. But the same effort's not required to make it clear to the audience what's being said. So it seems like another level of intimacy.
That's true. And, of course, the acoustic really impacts how one must articulate text. You know, if it's a very wet acoustic, then we have to do a more cathedral kind of diction than in a drier hall, which would be one like an orchestra hall. It heightens the level of drama that there is such personal... well, frankly, we depend on each of the singers, the individuality of each of the singers, perhaps a little more than they do. When you have 40 sopranos, you ask one thing of them. But when you have only six or seven of them, then it becomes imperative that each of the individuals brings their A game and brings their complete musicianship to the performance. And when all of the singers of the Phoenix Chorale then do that and have that immediately ready, then the piece becomes terribly dramatic, and those moments of sweetness and catharsis just become of excruciating joy. The big fugal moments and the death, where is thy sting? Then we have all 20-some of the Phoenix Chorale singer shaking their fists above their heads, vocally at least, you know, where is thy sting? and it really makes the piece stand up on its feet, requires you to listen, and then gives you a huge reward for having done so.
When you have a group of soloists, people who can stand up and they have that character, and then you hear them do early music, you hear them do more pop-style things, you hear them doing romantic or classical pieces, then those folks all surrender that solo sound to the sound of the chorale. And I'm sure each of them has done this, as you've described before, with the huge chorus, the huge orchestra. This must have been quite an experience for those folks to surrender to this kind of Brahms, different kind of Brahms sound.
We have a shorthand for it. We call it our big boy voice. And we're all using our big boy or big girl voice on this, which includes a lot of hysteria in the tone. We're all using our voice in a way that we would if we were soloists with an orchestra, where we need to carry over the orchestra, but then keeping that just reined in around the edges so nobody sticks out or that we ever exceed beauty. It becomes impressively loud when everyone is singing full-throated and, with full vibrato and full coloration of their instrument. It's a very compelling experience, and frankly, almost more than I can stand being right up in the middle of it, just having that wall of sound rush over me. It's bliss, I'll tell you, but and it's a lot.
Well, we can look forward to hearing, your great Rachmaninoff recording of late told us that, what the choir can get in volume and what they can get in dynamic level. But I'm looking forward to that, the bigness of Brahms, but also that chance to hear the Charles Bruffy and the Phoenix Chorale with the more intimate version of, there are those big statements that Brahms makes in the Requiem, obviously, but there are also those very personal ones. This is written after the death of a great friend and his mother, and that intimacy is going to be pretty special.
Yes, and so conversely, it becomes larger than life at one moment, but then it becomes very intimate and genuine and self-disclosing and honest. All of those kinds of words where it makes a very subtle transformation between merely telling a story, just stating the narration in a very truthful and meaningful way, however, and from it becoming narration to involvement in a personal experience. And that's the really delicious part about what this choir is able to do. Probably the most famous of the sections of the Brahms Requiem is the "How lovely is thy dwelling place." Well, are we merely telling the story of that, or are we having a personal experience when our own eyes are the ones who see how lovely this dwelling place is, no matter what your beliefs are? But it brings a whole new level of meaning and vulnerability when we become the ones who are saying it instead of just telling a story about somebody else's experience.